Last week, on Easter Sunday, of course, we were focused in on the resurrection of Jesus. And those of you who were here will remember that we really talked about how the resurrection is kind of an answer. It's an answer to any questions or any doubts that people may have still had about who Jesus is, about the message and the promises that he made in relationship to the forgiveness of sin and eternal life, that through the resurrection, God confirms, he validates once and for all his son and the work of his son and that message, that gospel message to each one of us. This morning, we're back in the book of Acts. As we are continuing that series, working our way through, we were in Acts chapter 24 when we left off before Easter. But it's almost going to seem like a continuation of last week's message. Last week, as we talked about the resurrection, this morning, Paul is just finishing up his trial before the Roman governor, Felix. Felix dismisses him from that trial, but then later Paul has the opportunity to come back and to have a conversation with Felix and his wife, Drusilla. And during that time, Paul expounds on faith in Jesus Christ and the meaning of faith and the importance of faith. And so we're going to see that there are some answers to the struggles in life that we have. And those answers, that solution is found again in the person of Christ. Just as we saw last week, answers about Christ were given through the resurrection. So let's go ahead and begin by opening our Bibles, if you haven't already, to Acts 24. I want to start by reading the last part of that chapter, verses 22 through 27. It says, "Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, 'I will decide your case.' He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid, and he said, 'That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you.' At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him quite frequently and talked with him. When two years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison." Some of you who know me pretty well know that I have a kind of an affinity for puzzles. And I don't mean jigsaw puzzles. I mean like brain teasers, riddles, that kind of thing, things you kind of have to figure out, you have to think about a little bit. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. The bad part of it is when I am told one or a new one, then I can't stop thinking about it. It's like I have to solve it before I can move on with the rest of my life. And so I will, you know, just sit and I also don't like to have the other person tell me what the answer is. So I will sit and just drive myself crazy trying to figure it out. This was really kind of highlighted in my life when I was in high school. My older sister, brought a puzzle home for me to try to figure out, and I've got it for you this morning. I'm going to show it to you. It looks something like this, and she described how there's these three houses and there's three utilities, and what you have to do is you have to try to connect all three utilities to each house with lines. And so, but she said you can draw them, you know, you can curve them around, you can loop around, however you want to do it. But you have to connect all three utilities to all three houses. And the rules were you couldn't cross any lines and you couldn't go through a house or a utility to reach a different one. So I started working on this thing and I got a piece of paper out and I tried, I got more paper out and I tried again. And I worked on this thing as all my free time. Okay, so just so you, none of you work on it during the message or any time this week, there's no solution. She didn't tell me that at the beginning. There's no way to do it on a flat piece of paper. Now, if you start folding it around or looping around, then there's, but on the piece of paper, the way she described it, there's no way to do it. Drove me crazy. This is actually, go ahead, you can drop that slide down so that people aren't trying to figure that out. There really is no solution. But this again was part of the reason why when I I started out in college. I started out in computer science, and I had to get out of that because the same reason I couldn't stop thinking about, you know, a program that was not working out right or things. So I went into ministry. Because we never have any problems that we deal with in churches or ministry. But I will say this, there's a difference. There is a difference in the kinds of things that we deal with in ministry and serving Christ. And here's the significant difference. That the answer or the solution to these problems and these struggles and the things that we face in life is not hard to find. It's sometimes hard to accept and apply. That is that the answer, which is faith in Christ, is there. The solution is there. We just struggle with either accepting it or applying it in our lives. This is what Paul is trying to share with Felix and Drusilla. He's giving them the answer. That is, he's sharing with them about faith in Christ Jesus and how that can deal with our struggles. But they listen. But then when it gets personal, then when it begins to apply to them, when it starts to step on their toes, when they start to get uncomfortable, suddenly they shut him down. And he's sent off and they ignore the message. This morning, I want to talk about why faith in Christ is so important to us and to our lives, both in our past, our present, and our future. And I hope that we'll be more open to and respond to that answer in a better way than Felix and Drusilla. As we think about why faith in Christ is so important, it helps us to see how it applies to our lives, past, present, and in the future. So what do we mean when I say that faith in Christ applies to our lives in the past? Well, the first thing that we have to understand is that we all, every one of us as human beings, has a problem with our past. That we have a past problem. And Luke tells us in this passage, as Paul is sharing about faith in Christ Jesus in verse 24, then in verse 25 it says, as Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. And then he goes on to sort of dismiss Paul. So there's this description of Paul's sort of exposition or sharing about faith in Christ. And there's three things specifically that Luke mentions that Paul talked about. One of those, the first of those, is righteousness. And righteousness is our past problem. That is that we did not live or have not lived righteously. If you look up in Webster's dictionary or any dictionary, the definition of righteousness, it will have something in there about living morally or living according to a moral code. And as we use the word righteousness today, that's a pretty good definition, because when we talk about someone being righteous, that's generally what we mean, that they're moral or they're living according to a moral code. But when you talk about righteousness biblically, then you're talking about a specific moral code. And that specific moral code is God's moral code, the law, which is kind of summarized in the Ten Commandments. But that law was given to the people as a covenant. And so this moral code, or obedience to this moral code, deals with our relationship to God. And so to break that moral code or to live unrighteously meant that we were no longer in a right relationship to God. And so when we hear that word righteousness, it's not just talking about our moral code, but it's talking about being out of a right relationship to God. Breaking the covenant, breaking the law meant that the covenant was broken and our relationship with God is compromised. And that is true no matter how far back in your past those things may have happened. Now, I'm going to say, those of you who are believers know that we don't go through a single day. I don't go through a single day where in some way I don't break that law, that whether it's in my thoughts or my actions, that in some way we're all guilty of sin virtually every day of our lives. But let's just suppose for a moment that you could begin to live righteously, begin to obey the law perfectly for an extended period of time. That still doesn't change the problem we have in our past. I saw on one of the news shows here recently story about a man who committed, as a young man, he committed a crime. He actually murdered a young girl, and he didn't get caught. And so for years, decades, he lived, didn't break any other laws. He actually lived in the same town, knew the family. They considered him a friend. But then finally, his past caught up with him, and a police detective figured out where some mistakes in the original investigation had been made, and it all pointed to him. He got arrested. He confessed to the crime. It didn't matter that he had lived according to the law ever since, because the law had been broken. And the relationship was compromised. The same is true. When we break God's law, then that relationship is compromised. We are now unrighteous when it comes to our standing before God. Felix and Drusilla, they understood this pretty well. They became, it says, afraid, as Paul talks about this. Drusilla, it says, was a Jewess. She was Jewish. She knew the law, but she hadn't obeyed the law. Josephus, historian from the Jewish historian from that period of time, tells us a little bit about Felix and Drusilla. When Felix came to be the governor there in Palestine and first meets Drusilla, he's overwhelmed by her beauty, but the problem is she was married to somebody else. And so Felix proceeded to use his wealth and influence and power to sort of lure her into a relationship with him, to leave her husband and come to be his wife. As they begin to hear about this idea of righteousness, they become, both of them, afraid. Paul likely knew this, no doubt, as he shares with them. Our unrighteousness, not just for Felix and Drusilla, but our unrighteousness is our past problem. And the answer, the solution for that problem, is faith in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how bad our past is. Maybe in your past, there's a similar things like that of Felix and Drusilla. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, man, I've done things even worse than that. The message of Christ, the message of the cross that we sang about, that we remember through the Lord's Supper, is the message of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That He took the wrath of that God has for our sin. He took the punishment for our sin so that we can be forgiven. So that if we put our faith in Him, we have the forgiveness of our sin. That penalty is paid. But the gospel goes beyond that even. Because it also says not only is our sin forgiven, but we then become participants in a new relationship with God, that we now have a righteousness, a right relationship with God that is not based upon our obedience to the law, but rather is based upon our faith in Jesus Christ, who lived righteously, and we now have a relationship through Him with His Heavenly Father. That's what Paul means in Romans 3:22 when he says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For all who believe. So we can have this kind of relationship with God. We can deal with our past problem if we're willing to accept that it's not going to be by us. It's not going to be by my strength. But it's going to be based on what Christ has done for me as I come to Him. All right, so we see our problem, our past problem, dealt with through faith in Jesus Christ. We also see our present predicament in this passage, and how faith in Christ is a solution for that as well. The second of these three things that Luke specifies, that Paul talked about, is self-control. Once again, this was an issue for Felix, particularly. Another historian, a Roman historian by the name of Tacitus, talked about Felix as governor there in that region. And he describes Felix this way. He says he was one who exercised the authority of a king with the spirit of a slave. And what he meant by that is that Felix had this tendency in his reign to act in ways that were very angry, very vengeful, that he believed in some ways that he was above the law. So if he saw you as a threat, he might just have you done away with. That he was in every way a man who struggled with self-control. Now, his may have been augmented by the fact that he felt like he was above the law. And so he didn't even have societal constraints on him. And certainly, though, we can all in some ways identify with Felix. And what I mean by that is that when temptation comes, when that sin rears its head in our lives, if there are times where we think, well, you know, nobody's going to know, nobody's going to see it, I can get away with this, and we fall to temptation. That's true certainly before we come to Christ. It can be true even for our life in Christ, that we can struggle in our lives with this issue of self-control. We have this present predicament. We try to follow the law, but our lack of control, our lack of self-control, temptation, and so forth, continue to get in our way. The solution for that problem is not found in ourselves, but it's found by faith in Jesus Christ. We've already seen how faith in Christ allows us to be justified before God. That is, to be made righteous in God's sight. We also, though, need to understand that our life in Christ, that is our sanctification, that is becoming more like Christ, becoming more holy, is also by faith in Christ. It's not that we come to God by faith, and then now that we're, you know, in a relationship with God, we suddenly have to do it all by our own strength. The intention of the life of the believer, what God intends for us, is to be in dependence upon Him, to continue to live in faithful dependence upon Christ. That's what Jesus talks about in John 15, when he says that if you will remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. It's this idea that the fruit in our lives comes not by us, but by our walk with, our relationship with Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. And when we think about the fruit of a godly life, you can't help but think about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? How do we deal with the current struggles, the things that we have? It's not going to be simply by our own strength, but it will be as we learn to live and to walk with Jesus Christ through this life, as we depend upon Him by faith. John Ortberg, Christian author, some of you may be familiar with, tells a story about an encounter he has with a mechanical bull. There's apparently one, I guess, down at the Dogwood Festival right now. But he said it was at an open street fair, and he was standing there watching as different people got on this bull and tried to ride it. And he'd been there a while, kind of just thought it was humorous seeing people, you know, flying off this thing. And finally, the operator of the bull, he turns to John Ortberg, and he says, you know, it's a lot more fun to ride it than it is to watch it. And he said, well, maybe I will. And the guy says, are you sure about that? And of course, then he felt like his manhood had been challenged. So he said he had to ride it at that time. So he was waiting in line, and he was talking with the operator. And the guy says, well, first thing you need to know, there's 12 different levels, and each one it's a little bit harder. Then he goes on to tell him that the secret to staying on the bull is not just, you know, how hard you can hang on to the rope, because eventually the forces are just going to throw you. But what you have to do is you have to try to stay centered on the bull. You got to follow its movements, and that's how you're going to stay on. If you get sideways, you're gone. Well, he said, okay, so he gets on there, and he said it started out kind of slow, and as it got faster and faster, he started having a hard time hanging on, and he was kind of sliding around, and then he remembered what the guy said. So he, for the rest of the ride, he said he just tried to stay centered on that bull and follow that bull's movements, and sure enough, he was able to stay on. It slows down, and it came to a stop, and he was feeling pretty proud of himself, and he turns to the operator, and he says, how was that? And the guy said, well, that was level one. He knew at that point that he was in over his head. But I share that to say that our life in Christ is kind of that way. That it's not about how hard, how strong, how much we can do to hang on, but it's about staying centered on Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith, and learning to follow him in that way. So faith in Christ is also the solution to our present predicament. Finally, we learn that from this passage that faith in Jesus Christ is our only hope to avoid a failure in our future. I want to talk a little bit about the failure that is in our future apart from Christ. Felix and Drusilla, it says Paul shared with them finally about the judgment to come. And my guess is that's what brought this conversation to a halt. If they were already afraid when Paul talked about righteousness and self-control, as he talks about this judgment to come, Felix, who again thought that he was in some way above the law, didn't want to hear about how his sinfulness, his breaking of not only the Roman law, but God's law, is going to be called into account. But Scripture makes that very clear, that there is going to be an accounting for sin. And if we have not put our faith in Christ so that our sin has been paid for by Christ, then we will pay the penalty for our sin and be separated from God for all eternity. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, we find these words. It says, "For he, that is God, has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." It's talking about Jesus. And basically what that's saying is that Jesus is either going to be your Savior or he will be your judge. The answer to the failure in our future, and apart from Christ, it will be a failure. We will not pass that judgment. Because as we said before, we all have this problem of unrighteousness. We all have this sin that has broken that relationship with God. Felix didn't want to think about that. And so he puts Paul off. And the reality is that many are like him today. We just don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about that right now. I've got too many other things. I've got stuff going on in my life, and we just ignore it. Some of you are. We have quite a few JBU students here in this service, and I know this week is the last week before finals, right? And I remember when I was in school. You get that first week. You've got sort of that whole syllabus shock thing going, and as you think about all of the assignments that are going to be due. But you get into the semester and you kind of get in a routine and you start doing things that are kind of fun. And it's pretty easy to forget about the end of the semester that's coming, right? Until like about right now. And now it's you're under the gun. All of that stuff's coming due. And if you're not prepared for it, it's not going to turn out real well usually. We try to do the same thing. Some try to do the same thing when it comes to the judgment to come. We can try to just go through life and not think about it, but it's not going to change what's coming. And if we're not prepared, we will fail. We will fail in that judgment to come. And the only preparation that is effective, the only way to be prepared, is faith in Jesus Christ. That is our hope to avoid the failure in our future. I don't know for sure why it doesn't say why Paul first invites or why Felix first invites Paul to come and speak to him. It's possible that it was because Drusilla, his wife, was a Jew and she wanted to hear more about this Jesus who'd claimed to be the Messiah and so forth. But it is clear one thing, and that is that after listening, Paul is sort of put off. And in the future, he's brought in to talk again, but the future meetings are more oriented around Felix trying to see if he can somehow get some money out of Paul and maybe the church, a bribe to allow Paul to go free. Of course, that didn't happen, and Paul stays in prison for, it seems, the better part of 2 years before Felix is gone. But the interesting thing to note here is that it doesn't ever say that Felix just sort of outright rejects Paul. And the message of the gospel. He doesn't mock the gospel. He doesn't mock God or Jesus Christ after Paul shares this with him. He just simply ignores it. But the important thing to understand is that the effect is the same. Whether he mocks God, whether he rejects Christ and the gospel, or simply ignores it, either way, he has not placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, the problem of his past, his present predicament, his failure in the future are still on him. The only solution is faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.